A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. United Healthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Uncover a world of sensuality and pleasure with New Zealand's pioneering sex toy purveyors. Whether you seek excitement that leaves you wet, loud, or speechless, we have something for your every desire. Explore the world's best brands at your fingertips. Peachesandcream.co.nz. R18. Welcome to Finger Food, empowered by Peaches and Cream. I'm your maitre d', Stacey O, intimacy and relationship coach and culinary artist, and I'm bringing sex to the dinner table. On the menu is a selection of heart-to-hearts with people who vulnerably share their stories, insights, and perspectives. This podcast is about sex and so much more. We explore connection, letting go of judgment, and accepting ourselves exactly as we are. Let's dine. In this episode, I chat to Morgan Penn. Morgan is a somatic sexologist, host of Sex.life podcast, and a darling friend whom I love and appreciate with all my heart. Morgan works with individuals and couples to reconnect and enhance their sex lives. My woman is hilarious, so much fun, and simultaneously has a serious and very important message to share with the world. She is passionate about breaking taboos around sex, bodies, and pleasure, and is committed to educating and supporting people to have empowered sexual relationships and start the conversations of how to have great sex every day. In this intimate conversation, we sit down over a couple of bowls of lamb ragu and a glass of red. We talk about our learnings from a rural New Zealand sex school that we both attended, how working in the sex industry is not for the faint-hearted. We talk singledom, self-pleasure, and so much more. It's great to have you here at the table. Let's get started.
Why don't we do an om?
Oh, hey, sweetie.
Hello, darling.
Hi. I'm present with you now. You've got your meal in hand.
You've worked hard. Yeah, I get it.
Exactly.
We can land.
It is honestly such a pleasure to have you here. I've even put on... I'm actually going to take this off because it needs the full expression.
Oh, my...
I've put on... A ball gown for you.
Fine.
You're my guest of honour.
Now, you've gone from being a pink lamington to like coconut ice.
I like to feel like I'm part of the Bridgerton phenomenon.
I know it how is. Much you love that saucy life.
I love it so much.
And you just want to peruse around the house like that. And so you should.
I should.
It makes me feel underdressed, but very special.
I should have told you I was planning to wear a ball gown. I'm sorry.
I would have met you in that place.
Okay, so I messaged you and I said, Morgan Penn, what's your favourite food? What would you like me to make you as a snack slash dish slash your favourite meal? And what did you say?
Well, I really felt into this. You know, I was like, God, this is a really generous offering. I thought, what would I truly desire? And I thought, what about some lamb ragu pappardelle?
Yes, you did.
Which is so extra.
I honestly love it. Like, the extra nature of that made me happy to the core of my being, because if there's anything that I value in my friends is when they own what they truly want. I'm like, don't beat around the bush with your cheese platter. Like, what does your heart desire?
Yes. And to be honest, I thought, cheese platter, that'd be easy for us. But then I had really dropped in. But to your credit, I mean, I wouldn't say that to half of our other friends, because imagine what a lamb pappardelle would look like. It'd be shit.
Botched up.
But I knew that you've got the magic touch and it would be so good.
Okay, well, I've made it. It's sitting here before you.
It even, like, aesthetically gives me pleasure.
Well, I'm so happy to hear that. So I've made the pasta from scratch.
Oh my God, labor of love.
I've cooked this lamb ragu from Lamb Shanks.
Oh.
For 4 hours in the oven yesterday.
No, wait, is a shank an lamb shoulder?
Oh my God. Or a fuck
leg?
It's just delicious. Okay, I should know that because I've actually butchered an entire lamb in my culinary arts course, but that was in 2007. So it's been some time since I've spent some intimate time with a lamb. Yes. But a shank, it's a joint. We're going with it.
Sniff it. Oh my God.
It's got half a bottle of red wine in there. It's got parmesan on top. Actually, the secret ingredient in this lamb ragu is I put a bit of orange zest and fennel seeds in there.
No way.
And half a bottle of wine is the ticket.
Good.
I actually, you be the judge, but.
Oh, shit, mate. This is, listen to this. Can you hear that moistness? Oh, I'm getting juicy.
Stick it in your gob, sweetie.
God, I'd love it when you talk dirty to me. Oh, my God.
What are you experiencing?
Before the flavours are developing, just that texture of how soft that lamb is, just like falling apart in my mouth. And then, oh, God, I'm having a full body experience here. Wow. There is nothing overpowering in here. It is most beautiful, subtle flavors coming through. Like, I can taste that fennel and that orange and the tomato. Oh, my God.
Shit. Yay. And we've got a red wine to go with it.
Oh, my God. Yes.
We've got our party frocks. I've got my party frock. I'm so sorry. I didn't invite you to wear a party frock.
I've got my slippers on, you know.
She's got a slippy. She's
cheers,
comfy.
Doll.
She's comfy. Cheers, my sweetie.
Oh, we are living the life, eh? This is living, Barry. Middle of the day, ball gowns, red wine, pappardelle.
Pappardelle, sweetie. Actually, one thing is that we must remember is that the builders are building next door. And I've asked them to shut up from 12:15 to around 1:30. But the funny thing with that also is that the builder, the main guy that owns the building company, is hot. And I went around there to tell them to put a sock in it about a week ago.
Oh.
And not in my ball dress, but I was looking hot because I was just about to record a podcast with someone, the first one, maybe Juliet. And I walked over and I was like, hey,
Yeah, you used your...
Do you guys mind...
Your womanly wiles.
Keeping it down. I've got Chris Parker coming on. I've got...
Did you say that?
He said,
shameless.
And he said, oh my God, I'm going to his show. And so I instantly had street cred with the builders because of Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was like, here's my car. Just text me when you want me to be quiet. And I was like, fantastic. And then we have been... Learning up the storm.
Are you fucking kidding me?
I texted him today. I said, Morgan's here. I could keep it down from 12:15.
I don't know if you know Morgan, but she's going to be here.
She's actually a fucking big deal. And she's coming round, so I'm going to need some silence. 12:15 to 1:30. And then he said, anything for you, Stacey.
Okay. Oh, my God. Wait, when is he going to come and eat you out? Is that dessert?
I said, I've got a lot of pappardelle and ragu spare. So if you're around, I'd love to bring some to you and your team. And he's had another job today, unfortunately. So his builders are here, but he's not here. So unfortunately, I can't deliver my meat for him today. But
he might deliver his meat to you.
Anything possible?
Is like divine.
Quite divine.
Imagine
and hot.
If this is like a big love.
Who knows?
But
it's a sexy moment that we cherish. And we cherish the sexy moments day to day, whether they be a wink, a text, or a big love.
Look, you've got to flirt with life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
That's how you build on it.
Precisely.
Oh my God, that makes me so happy.
It's horny. He also might have a partner. He could just be like a, who knows, but he's definitely flirtatious.
Just work with what's being presented.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't need to know.
Well, I did think when I saw him, I thought, are you, he seemed like, I don't know, you know how some guys just have that energy of like, you feel married or in a relationship?
Yeah.
That's what I felt from him when I first met him. So who knows?
Yep, who knows? And if he is, and he's still giving you little tasty morsels, that's okay.
That's okay.
Because you're enjoying the moment. But
exactly.
If you're expecting more, set up for failure.
Exactly.
But that's exciting. It just like tickles your pickle a bit, doesn't it? And it just reminds you of like what is possible.
Really fucking does.
Mate, this is so good.
Oh, I'm so happy.
It is bringing my mouth so much pleasure.
I'm so happy to hear that.
Oh, honestly.
Really right for us. Really right for us.
Undo the pantaloons, eh?
That's what we're here for. Okay, so I just want to start off with how you came into my life. I actually don't even know how long ago it was now. Maybe like 2 years ago?
Yeah, it was like New Year's time, wasn't it?
Was it?
In Kua Tunu?
Was that the first time that we ever met?
Yeah.
Okay, whoa. Okay, so the first time we ever met, you came to my most sacred place in the whole wide world.
Yes.
With one of our mutually delicious friends, besties, Amelia.
Yes.
And you came and stayed with my grandma and my grandpa in Kua Tunu.
Bless them. Oh, they're the sweetest beings in the world.
They're so cute and Scottish. I simply can't talk to my grandparents about my new profession, but they're so cute.
Oh.
They're very, very conservative, Scottish farming background.
Right.
But the cutest of the cute.
Oh, my God. The way that they say darling. Darling. Oh, my God.
Oh. Oh, my God. The other day I was reading like a menstrual book, like about, and I was in the flow or something.
Mm.
And grandma's like, oh, what's that nonsense? Why do you read that? I just thought, you don't need to worry, Grandma.
It's all right, Grandma. You've done your time bleeding.
You're not going to get it. She just thinks it's all a bunch of sensitive, bonkers nonsense. And you know what?
Power to her. Yeah. Well, she's seen some things.
She's
you
seen
know?
Some shit. Mm-hmm.
Her prerogative.
Exactly. Anyway, we met. It was instant love at first sight.
Mm.
And yeah, from there, we've just had really beautiful, magical experiences together, naked swims in the river.
Yes.
Attended multiple events with giant dildos.
Yes, we have.
Watched gay porn together.
Oh, we have, yes.
Yeah, that was special.
It was quite a bonding moment.
It was a bonding moment. And yeah, I just feel very blessed to have you in my life, and I feel very inspired by the work that you're doing in the world, and I shared this all with you on your birthday, but yeah, it's an honor to have you here, and I've wanted to have you here on the show for a while now, so.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. And that's how I feel as well about our friendship. It's very inspiring, and just the raw sharing that we do with each other,
yeah.
I think helps us to keep showing up in this capacity and in this field of sexuality that is tough, you know? So we've got to keep cheering each other on and being there for each other. So it's like a very beautiful mutual learning. Like, I think we're both still learning as we go through this.
Yes, amen to that. Oh my God, I can't wait to dive deep into all of that, like being in the world of sexuality and unpicking what that has actually been like behind the scenes for both of us in that world and the highs and lows that come with that.
Yeah.
Firstly, I want to talk about your most magnificent podcast, which has literally been the best fucking thing I have listened to in so long. I'm like, waiting for the next episode to come out every week. I know it's finished now, but it's just such riveting, saucy, juicy, deep, funny content.
Thank you. And why do you think it resonated so much with you, Stacey?
Okay, well, Morgan's podcast is called Sex Life, and it's all about a rural New Zealand sex school that she attended for a week. Last year, was it?
A year and a half ago,
ago. And I have done this rural New Zealand. I've done it actually globally. But I first did it in Melbourne, and then I've done it in New Zealand, and twice in New Zealand.
Mm.
I drank the Kool-Aid really hard and fast. I thought, I love this, give me more. I maybe took it too far, too soon, but it was a trip down memory lane. in your podcast.
Yeah, because I think when you go through something like that, you almost forget certain bits, right?
Oh, my gosh.
And so then to hear it again, like even for myself, felt like I did more integration and processing of what actually went down there.
Yeah.
And reflecting like, I can't believe I did that.
That's the thing, because the first rule of sex school is you don't talk about sex school outside of sex school. And that's what, number one, I love so much about you is that your naughty streak is just the most outrageous, amazing thing in the whole wide world. I'm like, oh my God, she's talking about sex school outside of sex school. And I was like, fucking props to her.
Yeah. I mean, that has been a big piece for me to work through.
Yeah.
But I've always, I love that you said it's the naughty streak, because there is
love
that. Like when I get told I'm not allowed to do something, I'm like, and why is that? And for what purpose would I keep a secret? And I guess when it came to this, at the end of the day, it's about informed consent.
Mm.
And to have informed consent, you need to know what's going to happen in a place.
Yes.
And I didn't have that when I went to sex school. I'd heard stories from you and stories from other friends. And I thought, that is so outrageous. There's a group of 50 people doing that, all masturbating in a group with each other.
What did I tell you that?
No,
I don't think I gave you any, because I was like, oh, we just don't talk about what happens.
Yeah.
So I was like, no. So you journal entried your whole experience, which I don't even know if I did that. I kind of just was like in it, and then I left, and then I thought, well, I don't really remember a lot of the parts. But actually you relaying that whole experience, some of those moments I was like, oh my God, that's a little bit triggering, or oh my God, we did that, or yeah, it's quite wild to relive it.
Yes. And I journal because that's how I process.
Yeah.
You know, when I went there, I had no intention of doing the podcast at all, but it's such a good story. And I've always been a sucker for a good story.
Yes.
And it's allowed me to share more of myself and talk about sex in a way that people can understand.
Yes.
And make them have a bit of shock factor, but question their own moments, sexual moments, and
oh my gosh,
where their edges are. And yeah, so it's been a great foundation piece to, which my intention always is to change the world, empower through sexuality. So yeah, that's what that's given me.
I feel like that's exactly what you've done as well. Your intention has been absolutely manifested. And just from my own personal perception of it, and everyone that I've spoken to that has listened to the podcast, everyone's like, oh my God, have you heard this shit? It's so funny. And I'm so intrigued. And it's ignited this fire in people that I speak to that's like, oh, could I do that? Also, there's this part of me that is wanting to, but then also like, I'm not sure if I could. And I'm curious how many people have reached out to you afterwards being like, where is this? Can I do it? Or have inquired further about wanting to explore more within their sexuality because of that.
Hundreds.
Yeah.
Hundreds. So many people are, I want to go. I want to go to sex school. And this is the thing. If you are curious, if you've got a pull in your heart, then yes, you're meant to be there.
Mm.
And now people will be going with a little bit more information about what's actually going to unfold there. Because it was you that told me, oh, make sure you take lots of sexy lingerie.
Yeah.
And I was like, what? I'm not going there to like be sexy. I'm going to learn some sexual things. I'm not going to be sexy there. Oh, no, hell was I wrong.
The whole thing is about being sexy.
Yeah. Like, thank God I listened to you, because otherwise I would have been in my holy period gruts.
Oh my God.
You know, just rolling around, because that's what I feel most comfortable in, unless I'm like putting on and turning on my seductress.
Oh my God.
So yeah, lucky. Because every night was a temple night where you got to put your sexy panties on. So
do you know what's funny as well is that the perception of what you think it's going to be versus what you get out of it is so crazily different. Like when I thought I was going to sex school, I was like, perfect, I'm going to learn how to give the best fucking blowy, I'm going to learn how to give the best hand job, I'm going to like eat out a woman, I'm going to like do, like I just thought I was going to learn the tools and techniques for success. And then I left there and I was like, I still don't know how to give a blowjob. Like, we didn't even cover that.
Where was the curriculum? I'm sure I read about how to give a gobby.
It was like none of that. It was all just, it was all very energetic and very sensual. And it was just embodiment, ultimately.
Yeah.
And yeah, so if you think that you wanted to go there because it's going to give your like sex tools a...
What do you think your biggest like takeaway was?
That's a good question. I had been in a sexless marriage for probably, I mean, the last 2 years, we really didn't sleep together and we were together for 6 years. So I was in a sexless marriage. That was the first thing I did as soon as we separated. So the day we separated, 1 or 2 days after, because I wanted to do it whilst we were together and he didn't want to do it. So then I thought, fuck it, I'm booking it. I've got such a calling. I'd had friends that had gone prior to me. We'd seen Julia Allen as our coach. She'd told us about it and she told me the teacher that I needed to go with and all the things. And I was like, I'm ready to go. It's on in Melbourne. I'm in Cambodia. Like, we book it in. So what I got out of it was the sense of like a space to heal a lot of the stories that I was telling myself around that I'm not a sexual person. Mm. And in fact, I'm a highly sexual, highly sensual, erotic woman.
Yes.
And it ignited this piece in me that I'd honestly forgotten about for like so long.
Mm.
And it awoke parts of my body that I'd never felt before. And I just remember leaving there and this feeling of like, honestly, my body was like vibrating sensuality. I can't describe it in any other way. And I think the people that see the people that come out of that course, like I went to a yoga class with my friend Buster afterwards and I was like, and yin yoga and like the poor class having to deal with my erotic breath.
Because everything was a dance
of sensuality and sexuality.
Yes, and it was celebrated and encouraged to just be like that.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what happened with me and my friend. When we came out of there, we went to a hotel and we stayed the night just to have a little piece of like integration before coming back out into the real world.
Yes.
And we went out for, it was breakfast. We couldn't even face the world that night to go have dinner out, but at breakfast in the restaurant, we was like eating the fruit going, oh my God. Oh. Like just, you know, and that night we'd gone onto the jets at the pool. Like we're like, yeah, this feels so good. Thrusting and just, I know when you talk about that vibrating feeling in the body, like you're charged, you're sexually charged.
Mm.
And it is almost unsafe to be unleashed on the world. It
honestly is. You almost need like a, yeah, you need an integration period where you're maybe just alone or with one other person from the course or something. Like,
yes.
Integrating back into society after that is a thing.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Especially after you've done the other levels.
Right. Now that's something you've never touched. You won't tell me anything about that.
No, I won't.
But I've seen memes.
Yes. And I also will say that my experience from doing it the first time and that level of like sensuality and liberation and freedom that I felt in Melbourne, I didn't have the same feeling when I did it 6 months later in New Zealand, because it was like I was chasing a high. And I think that is really important to note as well, like, especially with work around sexuality, I think I was so excited by this, like, boom, like really hard and fast and crazy and wild and instant hit of pleasure in my body that I wanted more of it and I wanted more of it. And you can have too much of a good thing. And I think what I realized with going too hard, too fast is that there wasn't any integration time for me. And I was actually almost addicted to something else, you know, putting my attention on something else that was just distracting me from the grief that I was experiencing from the end of my marriage. Or there was so many things that I was working through at the time. And actually, when I think about it, I'm like, that was extreme.
Yes.
It's like you're chasing the high of a drug and it's what goes up has to come down at some stage.
Totally. And we're working with the nervous system in these spaces as well, you know. And so the integration piece is so important for that to change things on a cellular level for us to then be able to go and expand again. But that takes so long for the nervous system to actually have capacity to change and to let a high like that land in the body. Yeah, it's big, eh? Oh my God,
it's so big. It's so big. Yeah. What's your biggest learning? What's the biggest takeaway that you got out of it?
I think I worked through a massive piece about the internalized slut shaming for me and like giving myself permission to let that slut and seductress come out.
Fuck yes.
Because I think through my studies of becoming a sexologist, I dimmed down my light because it became almost clinical.
Yes.
And I think in my early 20s, I would have been what society would have called a slut. I just was liberal with my body and chasing pleasure and having fun, which is great. But I had no reverence for my body or my sexuality, which has been a big piece of relearning and rewiring as well. And so when I went to that school, the clinical learning and then the slut and the energetics of sexuality all merged together for me.
Wow.
Yeah. So that was really potent.
Oh, yeah. Fuck yes.
Mm.
God, yes. I can really resonate with that as well. That sense of being allowed to just really own your seductress and what's perceived to be like witchy or taboo, or like she's a witch, there's something to that, like that's suspicious if a woman is like that.
Yes, or watch your husband's around her.
But actually when that power is cultivated within a woman, it's actually so incredibly powerful and lights up the world.
Yes, it does.
And like pure and magic in its essence, actually.
Yes, I could feel that from your pussy when you said that. I could feel it. But you're right, because there is a leakiness, there is a shadow side to that as well. Of course, but when it's healthy, it is magnetic. And other women, there's something, they sniff it. It's like, I want a bit of that. What is that? It's like that Harry met Sally when she's faking that orgasm. It's like, I want what she's having. What is that?
Yes. Okay. And so I have a question around that piece. So within our line of work, actually, first, I'm going to ask you, are you seeing anyone at the moment?
Just my phalanges.
Nice one.
I'm currently single.
Currently single. Okay. So in our line of work, there's a lot of societal stigma and shit that has to be sifted through in order to show up and share what we're sharing, to break down the barriers of judgment from parents, grandparents, society. How are the rest of the world going to perceive this? Am I still going to belong in society? That's my experience of it. Anyway, and I'm curious, what's been your experience of that with how vulnerably and publicly you have shared your relationship experiences and your sexuality with the world? How has that felt for you, and how has that affected your relating life?
Yeah, I mean, there's ebbs and flows to this. Sometimes I feel very strong and clear and open to sharing everything. And from that empowered place, the calling is so strong that I know I'm sharing from a place of like I'm having a felt experience of something sexual in the world, that I know that as a woman, I'm not the only one who's experienced it. And it's really empowering to share that so that people don't feel alone in this realm. And there is learning to be had from someone taking the shame or stigma, that sort of charge, out of it. So I'm so grateful, and I do not know where this comes from, but there is just a strength and clarity in me that feels like absolutely right to share. But from that place, yes, sometimes there is a deep vulnerability hangover. And I do wonder about the consequences of that sharing sometimes. I second guess that. But it's always in those moments where I've second guessed from a place of thinking, what if a guy sees this, or a guy that I'm dating or flirting with sees this and is put off? Those are the times when I share that I have the biggest response from women, especially that are like, oh my God, thank you so much for sharing that. Or like, then they shared their experiences and I know that the potency has landed, and that's why I've shared it. But then the other part of me that has such a heart longing for my person that I want to walk through life with, like I remember talking to my manager about my podcast, Sex.Life, and about, you know, do I share specific details, like in the episode where I talk about having my asshole eaten in front of 50 people.
Oh my God.
You know, I said to him, what if I put that out in the world and the guy I'm dating at the time or whatever hears that and then doesn't want to be with me? And he said, okay, valid. But also the thing is, Morgan, you require such a special man that is very hearty, very strong, that is going to accept you in your totality. And the thing is, like, this is you.
Yeah.
Like, this is you. Like, this is something you've done. You should have no shame in it. This is what you talk about in the world. So you have to really embody and own that. And I went, I do. And I have to just have faith that the right man for me will hear things like that and be like, oh my God, she's a wild Brumby, but okay, I'm in for it. You know? But it has made the dating life harder, because I have second guessed men and their intentions.
Yeah.
Like, do they just want to take sexually from me? And I have noticed last year I was in a situationship for about 10 months. Mm. And I think what he loved was being sexually liberated and feeling the powerful pussy.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
And they're not willing to commit to the other stuff either. Yeah. So, yeah, I think there is a bit of a piece that I'm going to start working with my therapist around about trusting men a little bit more in this. But I also think as my work deepens, the more I am unapologetic about it and just being like, this is me. This is me. You got to love it or otherwise jog on, you know?
Yes.
And it's not like I need a man for pleasure or to have companionship because like you and I, we've got an amazing friendship out. That's what our group of girlfriends are like. We are life partners for each other.
We're
not lacking in
we're
that
intimate.
Kind of. We're so intimate.
Yes. Bar fucking. We do everything else. We stroke each other's hair.
We do.
We cuddle puddle.
We do cuddle puddle. Yes, it's nourishing, a very deep, nourishing, intimate friendship. So,
yeah,
I just think for someone else to come into that realm, it has to be so right.
Oh,
I'm willing to wait for that.
Fuck yes to this. I just really want to say I resonate so hard with everything that you've just shared.
Mm.
And especially around the initial stage of mistrusting someone when you're first dating them as someone that also works in the realms of sexuality. It's like, what do you know about me? Have you seen what I'm sharing? And is your intention here only to fuck me because you think you're going to have a really good time?
Yes.
Or is it you don't really care about what I do, but it's a story I'm telling myself? And I think there's a piece there for me as well that is the reason why I asked that question. And it's so funny because I was talking to my sister the other day and I was like, I'm about to record this other season, you know, still single. And she's like, sweetie, you've got the Taylor Swift curse. I was like, what do you mean?
Oh.
And she's like, you know, Taylor Swift forever single because she just sings about her dating life. And I was like, I've got this Taylor Swift curse.
No, do not buy into that.
But it's so funny because it's the first thing that I actually bring up when I first start dating. I'm like, hey, this is an insecurity for me and I just want to let you know, like,
beautiful.
This is there. I'm aware of what I do and I just want to say, just because I do what I do, this has been a really big journey for me and it's been actually really vulnerable. And like the reason why I'm doing this work is because sex sucked for me for the majority of my life. And actually I've been working really hard to reclaim that within me.
Yes.
And so if you think I'm this crazy tantric sex witch, like sure elements of me are that, but like I'm still working on my sexuality, honey. And like have zero expectations because it's just person to person and it's completely based on our connection and the safety that I feel with you and the safety that you feel with me. And like, that's it.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
How is that normally received?
Honestly.
Do they get it?
Some men do. And this is another thing that I wanted to say is actually like some men that I've dated that have been in this kind of realm that have really clear, beautiful communication, that's been received so beautifully.
Mm.
And your average Joe man who has never dabbled in this world, it can be a lot for him.
Yes.
And so that is actually something that I'm navigating myself at the moment is like, how much is too much to share at the beginning of a relationship? And what is it that I'm holding sacred for the first part and then slowly revealing myself? Or is it that when I meet the person that is my person, they're just going to get it. They're just going to receive me and all of my extreme communication.
And your ball dress and you're good to go.
Exactly.
Well, I think that's a beautiful line of inquiry.
Yeah.
You know, we've got to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. And I would say recently when I've shared that vulnerably, it wasn't received. And I felt like it was received and then it wasn't.
Yeah.
And we're not seeing each other anymore because of my very honest and open communication.
Yeah, right.
And yeah, it's an inquiry for me at the moment. How much is too much?
Yeah. And it depends on the type of person that you are wanting to receive as well, because unfortunately, and we do talk about this a bit, is like the self-development that we have done, the self-awareness lends ourselves to quite a specific type of person that's also done their own work.
It does.
Yeah. So in that realm, we've taken our dating pool from a big old lake to just a little puddle.
I know. And that's what I think sometimes as well is like, does that eliminate people that have never done self-development work? Because some people I find, if they've got an open mind and an open heart, and potentially they've not done like loads of self-development work per se, but they're open to learning, I feel like there's a place for that as well.
Totally. Yeah. I actually, the man that I see is very like just solid and average, like man in the land.
Zane.
Simple.
From next door.
Zane from next door.
It's the local builder.
It's the bloody builder that's wielding a hammer, or, you know, like, but there just has to be depth and a willingness to open. Exactly what you said. Yep. So it isn't about the self-development, but there has to be steep self-awareness.
Yes.
There. Yeah.
Beautiful. Mm. Oh my God, yes.
Oh my God, I can't wait till we find our people.
That's
and we're just
going to
be sitting around a table eating lamb ragu pappardelle.
Yeah, we are.
Drinking red wine in our ball dresses. Mm-hmm, and they're going to think we're so weird and just love us for it.
So I'm curious about dating life for you right now. Mm. Obviously, you're dating, you're phalanges, stunning.
Yes.
Cool genie, all we need. But how are you dating when you're dating? So are you dating online? Are you meeting people in the flesh? Are you making time for it? Like, what does that look like for you as a single gal?
Yeah, well, look, I'm not really helping myself because I just have this dream that I'll be leaving the library one day with a bundle of books and I'll bump into a big burly builder. I drop my books. He reaches down to help me pick them up. We kind of pick the same book up, our eyes lock. And that's it.
Yes.
Happily ever after.
Yes.
I don't really leave home very often. I work from home. And sometimes I think, right, get out on the trot, you know, get out there, put yourself out there, girl. So I get all gussied up and I'll get out there and then I'll look around and I'll think, fuck this, I'm going home, you know?
Not what I expected tonight.
No.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, they say, oh, okay, go to like places where you feel happy. And so I go to ecstatic dance. I mean, there's two men in the group. There's 15 vulvas dancing beautifully, and then there's two haggard, lanky men shaking around, having the time of their lives, being in the essence of all these beautiful women. But they're not the ones for me, you know? And so, yeah, it's funny. So I went down to a wedding in Queenstown earlier this year, and I thought, oh, I'm going to jump on an app down here. I might find myself a southern man. And so I just like, and put up a picture of me chopping wood and like really tried to go fishing, you know, put my bait out there for the southern man. And I think my thing said, here for the weekend, give me a reason to stay, you know, something really sexy like that.
Oh my God, hot.
Oh God, though, what did I mean, it was just a shambolic what was out there, you know.
What was,
just,
was out there?
Just a lot of mountain bikers.
Oh my God, I spat my red wine all over my frock.
Sorry, darling, sorry.
Oh my God, mountain biker energy. That was what was out there.
They normally just skinny mountain bikers for me, and their calves are so defined, you know?
They're so defined. They're so defined.
Skinny ankles.
Yeah.
Yes. I like a big bucket butt as well. Mm. There's no room for a bucket butt on a like mountain bike, you know? So I don't think they're the ones for me.
Oh, shit.
I don't know, mate. I just have a sense that if I'm really living and walking in my integrity,
yes,
I will find him. I have a sense he's not online.
Yeah.
Because even when I'm looking online, I can't feel someone.
Mm.
I can see the ugliest guy and in the flesh giggle and feel something,
yes,
you know? But
totally.
If I saw him on an app, I'd say, ugh, absolutely not.
Swipe away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I've been doing a bit of work with, I think it's the guarding of my heart that is a big piece to have not received. And I've had some big loves in my life, so I feel really lucky, but I also know what it feels like, and I'm not willing to settle for that mediocre life. And I have a few men that I've got amazing cheerleaders on Instagram, you know, like, you're a goddess, you're a queen, or like, you know, I put up a picture of myself in lingerie and then they send it back to me like, oh my God, you're so divine.
Oh,
you know, and I'm like,
your fan club.
You.
It's
my little,
that's all I need.
My little man fan club, you know. But then I think there's a few that get a bit like fixated and then think that they could be something and then will ask me out on a date.
Yes.
And I'm like, no.
Yeah.
Like, in what world do you think that would actually be appropriate?
Yeah.
Like, I can't even see what you look like. You've got a private profile, a tiny picture of you holding a panda. Like, No. I don't know who you are. You know who I am because I share everything. So I'm flattered that you see all of that and you still want more.
Yes.
But no.
Yeah. And how is that received?
Yeah, fine. They're like, oh, well, thought I'd shoot my shot.
Give it a go.
Yeah. All right, mate. Jog on.
All right. You're still hot. And we're still going to comment on all your lingerie shots. Yeah. Hot, 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 hot. Yeah. I love that.
No biggie. What about you? Are you actively dating at the moment?
I have been. I go really hot and cold on it.
You do, eh?
I'm such a hot and cold. So what's
your season at the moment?
My season? Okay, so we were in a deep, dark winter at the end of last year.
Mm.
So, yeah, I'd had like a love affair in Byron Bay that didn't work out. And then that honestly shut my pussy off for, I'm going to say, 6 months.
Mm.
Solid 6 months. I didn't want to be touched. I was also going through my studies and financial stuff was happening for me at the time as well. So just feeling like I just need to nurture me and be here for me. And yeah, so in a deep, deep, dark winter.
Mm.
And then more recently, I've gone on a couple of dates with a couple of guys. So I've had three men come in and out of my life in the last couple of months.
Okay.
So I would say spring has sprung. Spring has sprung. And the most recent one was the one where I communicated and it wasn't received how I thought it would be received.
Yes.
Which was fine because actually my gut instinct was I had a bit of the ick. It wasn't quite right, but I was just sharing that that was present for me. Not that I had the ick. That wasn't my communication. It was, I'm a bit nervous to be intimate with you.
Yeah.
Because I don't know how I'm going to feel.
Mm.
And I think he was like, oh my God, rejection, rejection, rejection. That doesn't feel good for me. I'm going to back away.
Gotcha.
So that was my last experience. And within that experience, usually I would be like, I'm writing off men for another 6 months. Whereas this time I'm like, I'm just going to regroup, but I feel like the energy is still very much alive and there right now. And I'm feeling like I had the greatest orgasm of my life 2 or 3 days ago with myself.
Oh my God, celebrating that.
Yeah, and honestly, my libido or my willingness to feel pleasure within myself was gone in that winter period. So to feel that within myself again feels really fucking good. And to be like, oh my God, I want to love myself.
Yes.
So it feels good.
That's beautiful. And I just want to reflect as well, like that conversation you had with that person who didn't receive you.
Yes.
What you did was you actually allowed him to get real with the situation, what was going on, reflect in to see if he was up for it. And he wasn't.
Yeah.
The thing is, like, most of us are living a very surface life and would not have brought anything like that to the table, would just gone in sexually, numbed out, would have probably carried on for months, and then something else would have come up and then realized you weren't compatible.
Exactly.
You know? So it's just like, it's just great to get all the shit that's unsaid said.
Say it.
Early on.
I think so.
Yeah.
Like, are you dating other people? Like, what's your sexual health? Like, all these things that are actually, like, you want to know off the bat.
Yes, and it seems so obvious. And, like, of course you'd ask that. But so many people, like, they're choked, they're stuck fearful in their throat around it.
Totally.
That it's going to ruin it or it's unsexy or...
Yeah.
But it's like, wow, this is sexual relating. We've got to have these chats.
We do. And it's actually so interesting because I've been calling in a specific person. What I'm calling in is deeply respectful, funny, adventurous, nurturing, committed, deeply erotic partnership with another person that I feel like so incredibly supported by. And when I first met this person, he came into my life out of the blue and we were able to share all of that quite instantly. Like, what do you want from your life? And I was like, oh my gosh, like, have I manifested this person? But what I realized as I went more and more into it was so much so fast. And actually, maybe there was a part of me that wasn't actually fully there, ready to receive it. Because I thought, I've got a bit of the ick and this is too much, too fast, and stop calling me every day.
But it doesn't matter. Like, even if you are calling in something like that, you're still allowed to give yourself time to adapt.
I need time to adapt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you did put that boundary in.
And that was what was not received.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think you were in high integrity.
Yeah.
Thank you. So that wasn't right.
It was not right.
Yeah.
And we move forward and we move on. We do. And we have orgasmic pleasure with ourselves until that very day.
Oh, that man.
picks up the books in the library, outside the library.
Or maybe we reach for the same tahini jar in the supermarket. That's probably more likely.
That's sexy.
I don't go to the library.
Instant value alignment, tahini.
Unhulled.
You know who you are.
Big bad boy. Big bucket butt. Do not do mountain biking on the weekends.
Bugger butt, bugger butt. Oh my God, I'm just having a little slither of lemon.
Can I have a little nibble? So good.
All this talk of bucket butts, you know?
Oh, yes. Give me that meat. Oh my God.
Oh my God, so good. Okay, so big question for you.
Mm.
What's been your biggest challenge in the realms of sex, love, and relating in your lifetime?
Wow. That's one hell of a question.
It's a big one.
I think it's finding the reverence for my sexual body and making a real conscious choice about what my desires are and who has a right to my body.
Mm.
And being in harmony with my body as a sexual woman. You know, when I think about the infections of bacterial vaginosis and the rush and urinary tract infections, all from a place of my pussy not being listened to or honoured or revered and overridden at times. And I love my body so much now, but I would never do it. And so it's quite funny, you know, after doing all my studies, I've only let a couple of people in my body, you know, which is like people think I'm out rooting and tooting and must be so sexually liberated, which I am with my fingers and myself and with partners if I am actually bringing them into the fold. But in terms of letting certain people in, no way. Like,
yeah.
So I think finding my truth in the boundaries of the body sexually.
Mm. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Fuck yes.
Yeah.
I can really feel that and resonate with that. And I really get it because I feel like as children, we're not taught boundaries of our body from day dot. It's like hug your grandpa, do this, do that.
Show that thankfulness with a hug.
Exactly. And then
the tickle game doesn't stop. Even though you're saying no.
I know. It's so fucked up.
Yeah.
And I just, I can feel that piece massively, that learning how to actually advocate for your body and what feels good and what you actually desire and what your needs are, and that being like a lifelong journey and like a really challenging thing, because there's so much conditioning to unpick around what is this pleasure that I deserve.
Mm. And now my body communicates before I even cognitively know what's going on. Like, you would have heard through listening to my podcast that a guy who I had been sexually active with and was like really into, one day when he turned up, my body wouldn't open to him. I couldn't drop into that deep space of red, like we were kissing. I couldn't melt into the kiss. I couldn't, my body had shut off. And there was this old part of me that wanted to go, okay, let's just fuck to just, and then we'll go and make dinner. And he's like, no, that's not what we do. Let's go and make dinner and have a talk. I was like, okay. And then over dinner is when I said, it just dropped in for me. I was like, actually, how are you feeling about us? And that's when he shared that he realized he wasn't in a place where he could commit to the level that I was wanting. But he had been doing everything, still acting as if we were moving in that direction. But it's like my body knew.
You could feel it.
Yeah. And didn't feel safe anymore.
Yeah.
And so I was like, wow, okay, this is what it is.
Mm.
Yeah. And I think our bodies are so much wiser than we give it credit for. Like even when I work with a lot of clients that have got vaginismus.
Yeah.
And their pussies have shut down with pain.
Mm.
And it's normally, it can be things like that. Like she's so wise, there's been a betrayal of trust or violation or, you know, it's like when our bodies are communicating to us, we need to listen.
Amen. Mm. God, amen to that.
Yeah.
After my Byron Bay experience, six, however long ago now, I had sex with that person two times where I thought, because we'd been seeing each other on and off for so long, I had sex with him two times where I thought, I don't know actually if I want to be doing this.
Mm.
And everything I know now and everything in my body all the wisdom that my body has gained over this lifetime and then doing that after it's also gained all that wisdom. Like it's, I've done that countless amount of times in my teens and my 20s.
Yes.
Not really my 20s. I was married the majority of my 20s, but like my teens, I was having a lot of that kind of sex.
Yeah.
But this was like, oh, okay, I've actually self-abandoned in those moments.
Yes.
And I've tricked myself. My mind has tricked myself again. And then my body, my pussy literally was screaming at me for months afterwards with thrush, like on and off thrush.
Yeah.
Yeast infections throughout the month. And it wasn't until I actually slowed down and I just had some time for me. And I didn't want to self-pleasure, but I actually just took some time with her. And I held up a mirror and I have this really beautiful book called Woman's Anatomy of Pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
And within that, there's this really beautiful ritual that you can do. And I just said the words to myself, I will never allow anyone in there unless it feels good, unless it feels right, unless it feels pleasure-filled, unless it feels safe or something along those lines.
Beautiful.
And it was like this real reclamation of myself. And then I remember just wailing like, oh my God, how many times I've done this, how many times women have done this.
Yes.
In our lifetime where it's like, I'm creating that safety again with myself.
Yeah.
And of course she's going to be giving me thrush because she doesn't want anyone fucking entering in there because she doesn't trust me.
Damn right.
Because I've allowed someone when it wasn't right.
Yeah.
It was wrong for her. Yes. But I've not listened because I've just overrided that because I'm like, well, I should be into this.
Yeah.
And we've been there. We've done that. And she's like, no, sweetie. Not today.
That's a no from
it's
me.
It's a no from me, actually.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Beautiful reclamation.
Journey. Okay, so we're actually going to move on to a very special section of the show.
Okay.
It's called the What's in My Box section.
Sounds like something I could get in behind.
What's in my box? What's in my box? What's in my box? What's in my box? What's in my box?
Ooh,
hello.
All right, Morgan. To my left, we've got a special little something for you.
Okay.
Close your eyes, put your pasta down.
Yes, I can do that, only because I trust you.
Morgan, do you feel comfortable closing down your eyes is what I actually meant to say.
Yes, I do.
Okay, fantastic. All right. Ursula is going to pop something on your wee lap. Oh. And there's
a box on my lap.
There's a box on your lap. Feel free to open your eyes now. How do you feel?
Confused.
Confused.
But yes. Also curious. Yes.
Beautiful. Fantastic. Okay, so Morgan, what you're gonna do if you decide to participate?
Yes.
Is pop your hands in the little holes on the side. And you're going to investigate the item which sits on the bottom of the box.
Oh, there's two holes. Oh, so it's more human than I thought. Okay.
If you guess correctly,
yes,
you get to keep it. If you do not,
yes,
we're going to send it to your ex-boyfriend.
God knows he needs it. Bloody hell. Let me just have a little feel here. Okay, so this is very targeted for a pleasure spot. Can be used in multiple erogenous zones.
Yes.
Okay, so obviously it's a vibrating tool. So I can feel like there is a button here that would turn on the pleasure.
Oh
yeah. We're vibrating. Oh, good. Oh, yeah. Yes. So, yes, if this was my clitoris, we'd be having quite a good time. But also, this end is possible for penetration. So, yeah. Do you want me to name
it? What is it, Morgan?
Wait, is this detachable for different heads or is this one?
You tell me.
Oh, my God, I lost the bloody knob.
It's that popping back on.
Look
at that. You've not guessed the final product.
I don't know what one of these wands are called.
Does that feel good?
Yeah.
Just vibrate the whole box.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. It's a bloody fanny tickler from way back, isn't it?
That's right, Morgan. It's a clitoral vibrator.
Wow. I've never heard of this before.
AKA a fanny tickler.
Please, can I see it revealed?
You can see it.
Oh my God, it looks like a queen. It's a regal.
That is $369, that bloody item. It is regal. It's for a queen. It's for a queen's bedding.
It is actually vibrating the box, which is vibrating my poussoir.
Just the sound of the vibration is quite relaxing.
Oh. We're pulsing now. Oh. We're at the electronic club. It's mine.
It's yours.
Really?
You can take that home.
Sorry for Landy's. Go on holiday, would you?
She's a thing of beauty.
So my next question for you was, as a somatic sexologist, there's a perception from me and perhaps the world.
Okay.
That the self-pleasure sessions that you're having are like 3-hour long, very deep, intimate, like you're seeing cosmic rainbows and you're constantly having cervical orgasms, you're having G-spot orgasms, you're having anal, everything's happening.
Right.
Is my perception of your self-pleasure sessions.
Thank you.
And I'm just curious, are there ever moments where you just want to rub one out?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
So yes, I do love a good long wank.
Yes.
A big long luxurious wank. Absolutely. But you can't have a long lunch every day, can you?
You cannot.
No, you do that on a Friday. Well, you know,
some of us can.
Some of us do. But yeah, I really have to put aside and plan for a session like that. And I normally do that when I really need topping up. Mm. Like there's a deep loneliness in my body or a yearning. It's not motivated by just a feeling of, oh, there's orgasmic energy building and I feel like I need to discharge it.
Mm.
It's like I really need to be in my body and to care and nurture and go for it. So that's when I'll have those kind of sessions. So they definitely happen, but they're actually quite rare.
Yeah.
And sometimes I do just tap and gap myself.
Yeah, nice.
And sometimes it's actually destructive because it comes from a place of like, oh, I just want the quick hit. I just want an orgasm and be done with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that there is a place for that for sure.
Yeah.
Or like if I can't sleep and I think, okay, I'm just going to open the drawer, mm-hmm. reach for, well, now this little mate.
Yeah, you will.
And just and she's off and she's done.
Yes.
When that happens, I literally like throw the vibrator to the other side of the room because I feel like, ugh, done. And
you're no use to me anymore.
Shut up. Drop.
Go. You're done with here.
Get out. Get out.
Yes. God. So, yeah, I think there is like a full spectrum of masturbation pleasure sessions that I'm having.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
What about you? I mean, after hearing about your orgasm the other day, I'm wondering what the hell was going down in that session.
Well, I actually have really taken a liking to Dipsy.
Oh, yeah.
Like, in the biggest way imaginable.
Oh.
I think I'm all about psychological kink is what I've realized about myself. And I can honestly have an orgasm from someone telling me a neurotic story as opposed to
hot.
Any form of penetration.
Wow.
But what I discovered about myself the other day was a simultaneous G-spot clitoral stimulation and that orgasmic pleasure at the same time for me. Like exploring my G-spot more and more has basically been the winning experience for me. I'm going there more and more and it's a new territory for me because a lot of my history, internal penetration hasn't been the ticket for me.
Yes.
There's been a lot of pain there. There's been a lot of trauma there. So I've been exploring that and it's been feeling more and more pleasurable. And I'm like, oh, the gateway is open. I'm so excited about this. So I've been listening to some really good stories on Dipsy.
Yeah.
Namely, what's turning me on at the moment is threesomes with two men and one woman. But the men aren't fucking. The men are just dominating the woman, slash like just ultimately pleasuring her in any way that she wants, but also there's a dominance to it that I'm into.
Oh my God, I feel activated in my puss. Right? That's hot.
I'm horny for it.
Wow. So on that as well, yes. I was listening to Dipsy the other day and I really started getting into mythical kinks. Persephone.
I've been hitting like mainly the BDSM, like real dominant stuff. I'm quite into it.
Okay.
And then I thought, you know what? I'm driving from the Coromandel Rain. I just need a bit of light listening. And I'm quite a mythical creature underneath it all. And I thought,
you are.
I'm going to listen to Persephone in the underworld.
Yes, with Hades. Oh my God. I knew that. I should have known for you.
And it didn't really get me going, but I just enjoyed listening to the erotic storyline of it.
Yes.
What about for you?
Yeah, there were bits where I was like, I could get into it, but then I kind of the story lost me a little bit. But I like that avenue. Like, I want to explore that a little bit more. Apparently that kind of erotica that's not even used in audio, like mythical
kink,
is huge. Like huge, like monster stuff and like werewolves.
Oh my gosh. Let's go to a mythical kink party.
Let's
host a mythical kink party.
Shall we? A midwinter mythical. Okay. Okay. Yes.
Oh my God. Yes.
Everyone had better turn up with monster cocks. That's the entry to the party if they're a man. Otherwise, we'll have a bouncer there. We'll be the bouncers to see the cocks. If the cocks aren't monster, they got to go.
Monster cock. It's petrifying for me.
It's just a fantasy for the night, doll. Of course, we don't want to marry a monster cock.
Oh, I can finally have my threesome with two men, two mythical men, two Hades. So, on that note, I've got one more question for you.
Okay.
Not really on that note, just one more question for you.
Okay. Cool.
If you could give your younger self one piece of advice, knowing all that you know now about sex, relationships, and love, what would it be?
Oh, God. Yes. Yeah. It's about valuing the pussy and not self-abandoning in those moments and prioritizing men and sex over all else. I feel like I still need that reminder sometimes.
Yeah.
But I can see how that started. Yeah. So, high value pussy and making me the priority.
I'm sorry. Builders. Same.
Did we ask for a drilling?
I know we've gone on for 2 hours too long here, but like, what's your intention?
What are you trying to secretly say to us? Like, you want to drill us?
That's exactly it. Any excuse to come over here, actually. Exactly. Any excuse for me to go over there and give them a good old barricade.
Oh, yes. He wants to be told, oh, you bad boy.
Been a naughty boy, Zane.
You're going to be punished. Come and eat my ragu.
It has been such a delight to have you on Finger Food Podcast Season 3.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for dining with Finger Food, empowered by Peaches and Cream. If you liked this conversation, you can tip your maitre d' by subscribing, following, downloading, leaving a review, and sharing this podcast with your friends. If you want to work with me one-on-one or listen to more of my podcasts, go to stacyogorman.com or follow us on Instagram at finger.food.podcast. Stay safe, stay sexy. See you soon.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.